This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5 o'clock. Here's this evening's headlines. The Oma bombing inquiries heard how the death of a 17-year-old caused irreversible damage to her family. Dunloe is to receive a new primary care centre. Significant changes to road speed limits are being implemented this year, with the first element of a three-phase change coming into effect on Friday this week. And the Taoiseach's rejecting suggestions he misled the electorate over a number of homes being completed. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Aisling Kelly will have all the latest in sport at around a quarter past five. The Oma bombing inquiries heard how the death of a 17-year-old caused irreversible damage to her family. Brenda Logue was among the 29 people killed in the Rail IRA attack in 1998. During today's hearings, her brother Cahill read a tribute on behalf of their mum, who passed away last year after suffering from cancer. It described how the teenager was a talented sportswoman.
She had great potential, as I was told by many, and I often wonder just how far she would have went. Tyrone Ladies would go on to win the All-Ireland in 2018, having been defeated the year before. Would she have been part of that setup? As I lie here battling cancer, and although I am doted on by my sons and my siblings, daughters-in-laws and grandchildren, I can't help but wonder if Brenda had been here, is that how it would have played out? She would know what to do, know what to say, know how to comfort my boys. She could be their mother figure when I go.
Meanwhile, the mother of another 17-year-old girl who died in the blast says her child was denied the chance to reach her life's full potential. Jolene Marlowe's mother, Bridie, wrote a statement which was read on her behalf, reflecting her daughter's academic and sporting achievements.
She excelled in playing ladies' Gaelic football and camogie, where she represented both her school and parish teams at the same time. In fact, on the 8th of August 1998, just 1 week before the Oma bomb, Jolene was a key player in the winning team for St McCartan's, who won their first ever county final.
Dunloe is to receive a new primary care centre. The HSE confirmed the news to Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty this afternoon. Expressions of interest will be sought from developers this year. The exact location and a timeline for tender completion is yet to be confirmed. Deputy Doherty says given the ageing population in the town, the services will be welcomed by the community.
Primary health care centres where they bring all of the different services together is tried and tested. It creates better health outcomes, and as we know, we do have an aging population, and you know, anywhere where the HSE and we're seeing investment in our health services in local, rural and our county towns, then that's to be welcomed. And as I said, we've discussed this for many years down throughout the years in terms of primary health care centre in Dunloe. Indeed, in 2021 there was planning permission granted, but we've seen this project not take the leap forward that it needed to. So hopefully now this year will be the step forward that we need. And that's something that I and my local councillor colleagues, John Hamish and Brian Carr, will be ensuring that happens over the next period of time.
And would it be fair to say that the development of something like this can help alleviate the ongoing pressures that we've been seeing continuously at Letterkenny University Hospital?
I think if you look at the problems in Letterkenny, you can see that they're multifaceted. Obviously, there's additional capacity we need in the hospital. There's additional beds and staff that's needed. But the other thing that is also needed is we actually need more supports for primary care. So we need to, where people can be treated in the local community, then that's what needs to happen. And therefore, a primary healthcare centre of this nature is exactly what is needed, not just in Dunloe, but in many other places right across Donegal.
Significant changes to road speed limits are being implemented this year, with the first element of a three-phase change coming into effect from this Friday. With a number of exceptions, the speed limit on local roads, usually designated by the letter L, will be reduced from 80 kilometres per hour to 60. Later in the year, the speed limit in towns and city centres will be reduced to 30 kilometres per hour, while the speed limit on national secondary roads will fall from 100 kilometres per hour to 80. Brian Cannon is the Director of Roads and Transportation Services with Donegal County Council. He spoke to Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show.
From Friday, the default speed limit in rural areas on local roads will change from 80 kilometres down to 60 kilometres per hour. And that's on all rural local roads in the county, with the exception of 2004, because each local authority was able to bring in bylaws where it felt that due to the alignment of the road, the width of the road, etc., that the local road could stay at the higher 80 kilometres an hour speed. So the four sections of local road that are staying at 80 kilometres an hour is the Ardahi to Ardra Road down in South Donegal, the old Sligo to Donegal Town Road between Lahey and Ballantra is staying at 80. The racecourse road from Muff to the border with Derry, and the Windhill Road, which goes from Bridge End over to the Burnfoot to Muff Road, so from the 19th bowl over to the Burnfoot to Muff Road, they're all staying at 80. So that's a very small amount of roads when you consider all of our local roads. The rest of the local roads are all going to 60.
Well, more than 2,200 drivers were caught speeding during the Garda Bank holiday weekend road policing operation. The five-day operation ran from Thursday morning until yesterday at 7 a.m. Four people sadly lost their lives on the roads over the St. Bridget's Bank holiday weekend. A 21-year-old man arrested following a serious fire at a house at Cunningham's Lane area of Dungannon on Monday last has been charged with arson with intent to endanger life. He's expected to appear before Strabane Magistrates Court tomorrow. Meanwhile, a 15-year-old male who was also arrested on suspicion of arson with intent to endanger life has been released on bail to allow for further inquiries to be carried out. The Taoiseach's rejecting suggestions he misled the electorate over the number of homes being completed. It follows the publication of CSO figures, which showed there was a decline in the number of houses built last year. Just over 30,000 were constructed, well short of government housing targets, with ministers regularly predicting up to 40,000 homes to be delivered in 2024. At the First Leader's questions in the Dáil term, Taoiseach Micheál Martin dismissed suggestions from the Social Democrats he was misleading voters in the general election.
There was no attempt to mislead the public on this. That's the first point. But I make another point here. We used ESRI data for our election predictions, or not predictions, targets on housing, which you did as well, by the way, and everybody did. But the fundamental question is, how do you achieve them? That's the core question. What you put forward on your election manifesto and programme again didn't persuade people that you had a silver bullet on housing, because you didn't.
Well, Social Democrats acting leader Cian O'Callaghan accused the government parties of deception during the general election campaign.
And let's be clear about this. These claims were made as recently as last November, just over 10 weeks ago. Now, for those to have stood up, there would have had to have been 10,000 additional homes near completion at that point. There was not. Those homes do not exist.
The free school book scheme is being extended to Leaving Cert students. The Minister for Education has today received government approval to roll out the scheme for those in senior cycle. It's the final stage of the initiative to be introduced and will be available to all pupils in the public school system. Education Minister Helen McEntee says it will remove major barriers to education for many families. Meanwhile, Minister McEntee says she is progressing with plans to introduce phone pouches to schools. The controversial scheme, costing €9 million to begin and around €2 million per year after that, aims to ban phone use in school hours. A UK study released today found there was no difference in overall grades or mental well-being of students who attended schools with the phone ban. Education Minister Helen McEntee says the pouches are still worth a try.
I've spoken to parents, actually, where this has already been rolled out here in Ireland. I'm getting quite positive feedback, actually. The feedback is that, particularly at lunchtime or during times of rest, students are taking up different activities, they're engaging, they're much more focused in school. So I think we need to give it a chance, and we need to give it an opportunity to see how effective it can be.
Foyle MLA Sinead McLaughlin says there's still questions to be asked about the circumstances surrounding the allocation of over £710,000 for sports and PE facilities at Listnail College on the Waterside, including the provision of a new football pitch. Questions have been raised this week about the circumstances under which the decision was made, particularly at a time when a number of schools have serious structural issues which need to be addressed, but there's no funding available. Education Minister Paul Gibbons said he had no role or involvement in the decision, which was made by the Education Authority. He suggested Ms McLaughlin review her focus as an MLA.
What I would do is say to the member who represents the Foyle constituency, If you haven't been, and maybe you have, because I don't know, go to Lisneal College. Speak to the principal about his feelings and the school's feelings around the way in which her party and others have responded to this. Try be an MLA for all your constituents in the Foyle, not just one particular section.
While responding, Ms McLaughlin says there's a number of issues that need clarification, including whether there'd been a full application for the funding and why the department's own website says the upper limit for minor works is £500,000 when, according to the minister, that's been doubled to £1 million. She rejected any suggestion that her concerns are rooted in politics or sectarianism.
Lisneal College is a fantastic school. It has made huge strides in recent years, thanks in no small way to the dedication of an excellent leadership team. And whilst I welcome any funding that comes in to my constituency, I cannot ignore the wider context. And that is why I am still calling for full transparency around how this decision was made, what criteria was used, how does this compare to the schools that were rejected? And crucially, what steps will be taken to ensure that other schools in Derry and elsewhere get the funding that they so desperately need? When I asked these questions, the Minister said to me she should try to be an MLA for all her constituents in Foyle, not just one section. I really am hurt and angry that there would be any suggestion that I would have any sectarian modus operandi against any constituent in Foyle or anywhere. It is just not in the fibre of my being, and I reject that that was made on the floor of this House.
Well, the time's coming up now to 12 minutes past five. We're going to go to a short break and we'll have all the latest in sport after that. It's 5:15 here on Highland Radio. Oisin Kelly's at the sports desk.
Yeah, thanks, Donna Marie. We start with rugby. Tadhg Furlong and Joe McCarthy have both been ruled out of Ireland's trip to Scotland and the Six Nations this Sunday. McCarthy suffered a concussion in training last week, while Furlong remains sidelined with a calf injury. Finlay Beelham is in line to start at tight head in Murrayfield. Both Beelham and his Connacht teammate Mike Hansen trained fully this morning. Scrum coach John Fogarty is hopeful that both will be available.
They should be look good today. They both trained. Session has just ended, so they'll be looked at again, and there'll be a medical before tomorrow morning, and so on. So it's very positive today. They trained well. They trained throughout the session, took part in the whole thing. So it's good.
The football cross channel. Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta is confident his team can fight back from a 2-0 deficit to reach the EFL Cup final. The trail Newcastle get into the second leg of their last four ties at St James's Park tonight. Arteta admits the first goal in the match could prove to be crucial.
There's a lot of factors when that first goal is scored as well. You know, what you are producing in the game to score that goal, how we generate momentum, what if you don't score for a period of time as well. There are going to be a lot of scenarios in that game and we have to be really good at it.
Kickoff is at 8 o'clock on Tyneside to that one. Elsewhere in England in the Championship, Leeds United can extend their lead to 5 points at the top of the table. They take on Frank Lampard's Coventry City away from home. Kickoff there is at 8:15. Up in Scotland, Celtic can go 13 points ahead of Rangers at the top of the Premiership table this evening. The Hoops welcome Dundee to Celtic Park with a 7:45 start. Celtic boss Brendan Rodgers is insisting this week he'll not be resting any players ahead of next week's Champions League playoff against Bayern Munich. Along with tonight, they also have a Scottish Cup fifth round tie at home to Raith Rovers on Saturday. Rodgers says the next game is always the priority.
You can't want to play every game and then look for a rest. No, listen, we'll be strong mentally, physically, going into our remaining games, whatever team is out there. And there's still a lot for this group to achieve, and I'm looking forward to seeing that over the coming months.
In college's sport, there has been victory today for ATU Donegal in the Men's Soccer Ustaz Cup. The match just finished a short time ago at the Andanlan Centre Sports Field with ATU Donegal beating their ATU counterparts from Galway by 2-1 to progress into round 3 of the competition. Mark McGlynn and Josh Maxwell got the goals for ATU Donegal today. And this evening at 6:30, the women's basketball side are playing Trinity College Dublin, also at the Dunlan Centre, but in the sports hall, and that's in the NBCC Colleges Division 2 League. TUD will look to return to the Sigerson Cup final for the first time since 2013 this evening. They take on last year's beaten finalist UCD from 6:30 in Abbottstown in the first of the semi-finals. To golf, USGA have confirmed there will be exemptions for LIV golf players to play in the US Open under the new policy. One player in the top three of the LIV golf standings who is not already qualified for the US Open will be handed a spot for the 2025 tournament in Oakmount. Well, Tom McKibben says he doesn't regret his move to LIV Golf. The Hollywood youngster plays as part of John Ram's Allegiance team for the first time this week in Saudi Arabia. McKibben says LIV is something that appeals to younger players in particular.
I think being young and 22, that I've watched this for the last couple of years since it started, and it's something that I've really liked to watch, something very different, something that probably appeals to more people my age. I think sort of the opportunity to get to play with these guys here and learn from some of the best players in the world week in, week out, is something that appealed very, very nicely to me.
That's Tom McKibben, and that's your sport for today here in Highland. We'll have more tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news, Donna Marie.
Thanks, Oisin. Storm Éowyn brought hurricane-force winds to Ireland as well as breaking wind speed records. Met Éireann has released its review of January's weather. In it, Finnair Weather Station in Donegal recorded the highest temperature at 14.2 degrees Celsius on Monday the 13th. Cameron Clark has more.
The highest gust recorded during Storm Éowyn was at Mace Head in County Galway at 184 kilometres per hour. Four stations around the country had gust records during the events at the end of January, including Athenry in Galway, Finnair in Donegal and Gairteen in County Tipperary, while two stations recorded hurricane force winds. Met Éireann also says temperatures were below average almost everywhere, with the lowest recording at Athenry of -7.6 degrees, the lowest for January since 1987. Rainfall nationally was below average, however, the station at Johnstown Castle in Wexford recorded its wettest January since 1998.
The new junior minister with responsibility for the OPW says he will be happy to meet with the local community in Burnfoot and Donegal County Council. It's to discuss managing the flood risk in the area and the ongoing displacement of residents in Lisnagrania and Park and Greenan. Kevin Boxer-Moran previously held the ministry at the time of the 2017 floods and was the minister who approved the Burnfoot flood relief scheme. In response to a question from Deputy Patrick McLaughlin, he says work on the scheme is progressing and the council is expected to submit the scheme for planning in April. Deputy McLaughlin says the process is moving far too slowly, but it's encouraging that the minister's already taken an interest in the area.
He was out with the residents, with the families who were pushed out of their homes at Burnfoot at that time. He was the minister that gave the project the green light a year and a half later. I'm looking forward to, you know, having that conversation now that he's in place again, reminding him of, you know, what he had seen back then and what has not happened since he's been out of politics for that last term. And, you know, what we need now is an injection of energy, somebody to drive this project at national level and then also to drive it through Donegal County Council. I mean, these families have been out of their home now for 7.5 years, displaced. I don't know anywhere where that be just accepted, and it just drags on and on.
By all accounts, Kevin Boxer-Moran sought to be reappointed back into the OPW brief. He's always had a specific interest in floods because of his own experiences in Athlone. Does that augur well, do you believe, for the next number of years that you have a minister in there that seems to have a genuine knowledge of and interest in this issue?
Yeah, I think it should. I mean, he knows what it is to have a community devastated by flooding, and he also knows the bureaucracy that you face within his own department and just the planning systems. It just is heartbreaking how long everything takes. People have lost faith in Burnfoot, understandably, But we cannot give up on this. Like, we have to have this project move forward as soon as possible so people can rebuild their lives in a safe way. Hopefully now with this new minister who knows what this is all about, we can get this back on track again.
Galzins are rejecting Donald Trump's proposal to take over and own the Strip. The US president says the enclave could be transformed from a demolition site to the Riviera of the Middle East. Democrats in the US claim he's calling for ethnic cleansing. Palestine's UN ambassador Riyad Mansour says leaders should respect the wishes of the Palestinians.
The Palestinian people, at the end, will make the determination. Their determination, they want to clean the destruction in Gaza. They want to rebuild Gaza. They want to rebuild the schools, the hospitals, because this is where they belong and they love to live there.
Well, Minister of State at the Department of Foreign Affairs, Neil Richmond, says the government will wait to see how the US acts following Donald Trump's comments.
We have to be careful about the difference between what is said, and we've seen this in relation to tariffs as well, and what is actually acted upon. So we wait on actions, but certainly in terms of the position of the US administration, it was the tonnage to Simon Harris who called for the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, to attend the next meeting of the EU Foreign Affairs Council. We're looking for an EU-US summit, and we want to have those level discussions.
No non-compliances were found in a HICWA inspection at a residential centre for people with disabilities in Killylaston outside Letterkenny. There were two residents at the centre operated by Praxis when the short notice inspection took place in November. It was the first inspection since the centre opened. Donegal Education and Training Board will receive a maximum of €435,000 in capital grant funding. It comes as the Department for Further and Higher Education has confirmed details of €8 million for ETBs nationally. Donegal ETB was included in the lowest funding band. However, that is said to reflect the overall scale of each organisation and is based on overall funding applications. Having a look now to weather, dry and fine for the rest of the day with light breezes, dry, clear and cold tonight with frost and ice patches. That's with lows of -2 to +2 degrees with light breezes. To conclude this evening's news, the headlines. The Oma bombing inquiries heard how the death of a 17-year-old caused irreversible damage to her family. Brenda Logue was among the 29 people killed in the Real IRA attack in 1998. During today's hearings, her brother Cahill read a tribute on behalf of their mother, who passed away last year after suffering from cancer. Dunloe is to receive a new primary care centre. The HSE confirmed the news to Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty this afternoon. Expressions of interest will be sought from developers later this year. Significant changes to road speed limits are being implemented this year, with the first element of a three-phase change coming into effect from Friday. With a number of exceptions, the limit on local roads, usually designated by the letter L, will be reduced from 80 kilometres per hour to 60. While later in the year, the speed limit in town and city centres will be reduced to 30 kilometres per hour, while the speed limit on national secondary roads will fall from 100 kilometres per hour to 80. And finally, the Taoiseach is rejecting suggestions he misled the electorate over a number of homes being completed. It follows the publication of CSO figures, which showed there was a decline in the number of houses built last year. Just over 30,000 was built, well short of government housing targets, with ministers regularly predicting up to 40,000 homes to be delivered. That's all for now from Highland Radio News. We'll be back again with headlines at 6 o'clock. The obituary notices this Wednesday evening, February 5th. The death has taken place of Elizabeth Lily Thompson, née Smith, Kiltoy, Letterkenny. Lily's remains will repose at the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny today from 7pm until 9pm. Lily's remains will arrive at Conwell Parish Church tomorrow at 6:45pm to repose overnight. Funeral service there on Friday at 2pm, followed by interment in Ulex Cemetery. The death has taken place of Mary Hegarty, née Gallagher, Malin Moore, Glencullen Kill. Remains reposing at Shovlin's Funeral Home, Sandfield Ardra tomorrow from 12pm to 4pm, with removal after to her late residence at Malin Moore, Glencullen Kill. Funeral Mass at 11am on Saturday morning in St Columba's Church, Cashel, Glencullen Kill, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass will be streamed on mcn.live. The death has taken place of John Pat Kerr Minria Rathmullen, reposing at his home from 6 p.m. until 10 p.m. today and from 12 noon until 10 p.m. tomorrow. Requiem Mass on Friday at 12 noon in St. Catherine's Church, Ochterlin. Burial afterwards in Rathmullen Cemetery. Family time on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Patrick Sweeney funeral directors. The death has taken place of Paddy Gallagher, Station Road, Glenties, reposing at his home in Station Road, Glenties until Rosary tonight at 9 o'clock. Removal tomorrow morning to St. Connell's Church, Glenties, for funeral mass at 11 a.m, followed by burial afterwards in Conwell Cemetery, Letterkenny. House private before the funeral tomorrow. Funeral mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu to the Donegal Hospice, Letterkenny. The death has taken place of Sean McGrain, 27, Glenevish Hills, Strabane. Remains reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 25 past 11 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in St. Mary's Cemetery, Melmount. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Alzheimer's Society, care of Quigley's funeral directors. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. tonight. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has occurred of Dougald McFarlane, the Breakwater, Leharden, Rathmullen, County Donegal, reposing at his late residence tomorrow from 4 p.m. until 9 p.m. Funeral service on Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock in St. Columbus Church, Rathmullen, followed by interment in the adjoining churchyard. House strictly private on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Betty Rooney, ní Breslin, 32, Clochfadraic, Carndonagh, and formerly of Carobag, Leckamy. Betty's remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 20 past 10 for 11 a.m. funeral mass in St. Columbus Church, Ballinacrae, Leckamy, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Eamon McLaughlin funeral director. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.